This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Dashran Johan. So for our story today, the COVID-19 pandemic could lead to an increase in child labour for the first time in 20 years. Millions of children are at risk of being pushed into work prematurely or under hazardous conditions. We find out how children in Malaysia are at risk.
Right. So if you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us your thoughts by tweeting us at BFM Radio or WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899.
And now on to our story.
Right. So, you know how the health authorities have been warning that COVID-19 is here to stay for the foreseeable future? Well, the same goes for the economic downturn caused by the pandemic. While governments, including here in Malaysia, have announced economic stimulus packages to help people and businesses recover, the financial aftershocks are likely to continue long after the current period of sheltering in place.
Yes, so globally, it is estimated that some 55% of people, and that's about 4 billion people, do not have any social protection. So this makes them extremely vulnerable to shocks now as well as over the long term. And as families lose household income, they may be forced to turn to their children to contribute financially in the form of child labour.
Right. So, but first, let's understand what child labour is. So it's work that damages children's health, threatens their education and leads to further exploitation and abuse. Child labour doesn't necessarily include work that they do at home or on the family farm, for example, or for a family business. Or it also doesn't include if the work that they're doing is safe and doesn't interfere with their schooling. Activities that help a child to develop, such as contributing to housework for a few hours a week or taking on a job during school holidays, are also distinct from child labour. However, work that constitutes as child labour is work that is dangerous to their health and well-being, stops them from going to school or studying, and is harmful to their physical, mental, social and or moral development.
Yes, and child labour is usually the combined product of many factors such as poverty, social norms that condone child labour, the lack of decent work opportunities for adults and adolescents, migration, emergency situations. It is not only a cause, but it's also the consequence of social inequities that are reinforced by discrimination.
Mm. And child labour has been a widespread global phenomenon for a long time. In 2016, there were 152 million children worldwide in child labour. Currently, it might be too early to come up with concrete figures during this pandemic, but millions of children are at risk of being pushed into work prematurely or under hazardous conditions.
Yes, and children could be forced into more exploitative and dangerous jobs, including as unskilled labourers in the informal economy. So those already working may do so for longer hours or under worse conditions. And compared to adults, children are more likely to accept work for less pay and in vulnerable conditions. And on top of that, businesses may deliberately recruit children so that they can cut costs and boost earnings.
Mm. And gender inequalities may also grow more acute within families, with girls expected to perform additional household chores and agricultural work. Temporary school closures could, you know, worsen these tendencies as households look for new ways to allocate children's time. Mm. Migrant workers and their families have also been badly affected by the crisis. When migrant workers lose employment, their families suffer and their children are more likely to enter labour. So to find out more about child labour in Malaysia and the impact of the pandemic, we are speaking to Prof. Dato' Nur Aziah Haji Mohamad,
She's the Children's Commissioner for the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia,
yes,
or Suhakam.
Yes.
It's a huge mouthful.
Yes. So, good afternoon, Dr. Nur Aziza. To look at the bigger picture first, how much of a problem is child labour in Malaysia today?
I think in that respect, child labour, because we don't have any data, but we know there is a problem. We can see that children are actually being employed, and we don't know the conditions of those employment, and we are worried because children are doing work of an adult, and by doing so, they are missing school, and therefore they have given up their rights to education, and that in itself is a problem and which cause the child's future. Because there are certain provisions in the law relating to child labour that give them some exemption, and that's what is worrying. Also, apart from Malaysian citizens, we also have cases of children of migrant workers and, of course, refugees' children.
What does child labour actually look like in Malaysia? Could you describe what forms it takes and how it is hidden in our society?
Okay. I think it is in many forms, in the rural and also in the urban area. You have the urban poor, you have children working in family premises, helping parents to run their restaurant or coffee shops or even small stalls on the roadside. We have cases where children actually are involved in a family entertainment business and also being involved in entertainment itself, you know, where they are actually earning amount of money. So in terms of becoming actor, actresses, and also models, doing some modelling and stuff like that. And of course, there are also children working in plantations in rural areas, and including Sabah and Sarawak. So you can see it's been scattered, and also doing labouring job, you know, being a labourer in some construction areas. These can be seen. And one wonder when you see such a child working, then you're wondering why no action has been taken. And that is, I think, why we are talking about child labour being... in a way, Malaysia, we have a group of people, the B40, those who are financially not well off, you know, and poverty, where they actually have to make sure that everybody contribute in the family. I mean, in the villages where a lot of children are working in rubber plantations like that, yeah.
Dato, you mentioned children who are working are not able to go to school. Can you explain more comprehensively what is the impact of child labour on these children's lives?
I mean, if you're talking about children working and the working hours, if you look at the Act, it specifies, you know, children can work in various, the light work and they are not allowed in hazardous work. But the time of working, of course, definitely will clash with the children's schooling. Yeah. So if they are working, then you know they are not going to school. And I don't know, unless the child, like, you go to school in the morning and then do some of this working activities or helping out parents, you know, in the afternoon. But that would mean the children will have not enough time to do their homework, will not have enough time to do some extra reading because the afternoon, and of course schools, and there's a lot of schools that run like morning and they leave the afternoon for co-curriculum, which actually enhance the child, you know, soft skills and all that. And then they may have to forgo that. Then they will spend their night, like from probably after 7 o'clock onwards, to actually do their homework. And you know, today children brings home a lot of homework. And they could be finishing all that like around 11-ish and they sleep late. And of course, the next morning they have to go back to school. And not enough sleep would mean that they will not be able to focus in class and therefore will give an impact on their education. And in the end, these children will feel that they're too tired and they lost interest in school because they are tired and they are not able to catch up with some of their friends. And in the end, they will become dropouts. And so that in itself is, you know, to me, child labour is an evil in itself because it actually denies children rights to education. So, and to certain people, because the children needs to work because they need to assist families. This is the thing. Because to me, by right, the definition of children is a person being under the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And they are under the care and control of their parents, and because everything else needs the consent of their parents. So because they are under the care and control of their parents, it is not their responsibility to maintain the family. The maintenance are to feed the children, to clothe the children, and to house them are the responsibility of parents. So it is not good for them to be working because in the end they will actually be dropped out at school, or, I mean, decided to leave school totally.
Hmm. So what should our government prioritise to address the current situation?
Okay, I know we are not a welfare state like some other nations, but I think what we already have, I mean, during COVID, government introduced EPNs. And I know previously there are other methods of assisting families in the low-income group families. Now, to me, the first priority would be children must be at school. I would certainly go for making both primary and secondary school compulsory. Parents must send their kids to school. And then at the same time, looking at the background of these children and the families and give assistance according to the needs of that particular family. So if we are just going to go through the same method of giving assistance, like it's a blanket, like everybody gets 300 or 500, and that will not be sufficient for families with big families. And also we must work it out that some of these families, this is the income that they have. Maybe there will be the government would supplement that, yeah, in terms of what is enough to, at least to feed the children, and so that the children are not required to work. That's one. Also, the other alternative is to give priority to these children to work in certain area, maybe 3 hours a day, maybe after school, like 3 to 5, and that's about it, nothing more than that. But that in itself would become a source of income to the family. But the children are not doing, you know, any form of, you know, whatever jobs they have, but it must be a specific area where they could actually contribute to their soft skills and so on. I mean, things like apprenticeship, you know, some children like to do, to work in a workshop, and they have that, you know, inclination. And maybe they could do that, but not to do heavy duty work, but they do some observation, assisting in the shops, and being given a proper pay. There must be a minimum pay for children, because if you don't have that, then the children is being exploited. I mean, what I see is that a lot of employers exploit children by saying that, oh, I'm giving him a job because I pity him, but I'm not paying as much as I'm paying an adult because he's doing, he can't do an adult job. But in actual fact, the child is actually doing an adult job.
Hmm. So with school still being closed for most students, apart from preschoolers as well as fifth and sixth formers, how do we protect children from the risk of entering labour?
Yeah, I mean, I have been writing and also talking about persuading or trying to insist that the school should be open soon. Because to me, if they are not at school, and if they're at home being idle, then they felt that there is a necessity for them to go and work and assist the family. And also this group of children are also children are not being able to do e-learning. I mean, because the house might not have a computer, they might not even have the equipment to do it, the internet. It is the same group that are actually being, you know, denied the rights to education as such. So I would like to see schools to be opened soon, because this is really, I mean, the delay would make the gap bigger for children who come from low-income family group with children who can afford to have to do all the e-learning and whatnot.
So what can we do at the community and family level to ensure that we do not contribute to the problem of child labour?
To me, it is good gesture for certain people in the community to say, look, you know, I'm going to give you a certain job so that I can give you some money to ask these children to come in to do some minor work in terms of home, like cleaning up or washing the dishes or something like that. That is also encouraged. But making sure that the children are not being asked to do heavy work at home, even in domestic cases, and which would endanger themselves, like cooking and things like that. And also, to me, if there is certain companies that are interested to employ children because they want to assist them, there must be proper regulation regulating the work so that they are not being exploited. And a community can help by making a complaint to the labour office. If I see a child being employed and I look at the child still working at 12 midnight, and I think that's where community must try and complain to the labour office. And the labour office would say that, oh, I can't do anything because this child is working in family premises. So the Act must be amended so that children are not allowed to work until midnight, even if it's a family business.
Thank you, Dr. Noor Azia. That was Prof. Dato' Nor Azia Mohamed Awal, the Children's Commissioner from the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, also known as SUAKAM, explaining the situation in Malaysia when it comes to child labour and the impact of COVID-19 and the MCO on the problem. So the government of Malaysia is currently developing the first national action plan on child labour. So this plan will comprise of programmes to intensify awareness among the public regarding child labour, protect young workers and enhance national capacity to eradicate child labour.
And what's most important is that the plan must address the full range of vulnerabilities that children face. This includes poverty, gender discrimination, lack of access to education and healthcare, as well as abuse and exploitation.
Right. So we can only eliminate child labour if we come up with sustainable solutions that address its root causes. As Dato' Nor Azia said, children are meant to have a childhood. It's not their job to support their family and you know, families shouldn't be driven to such desperate measures.
Absolutely. That is about all the time we have for that story today. But if you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Or you can drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, the podcasts are available on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. That's it from myself and Dashran for today. But coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, Juliet Jacobs will be speaking to the general manager of Reef Check Malaysia, Julian Hyde, and they will be talking about Pulau Tioman as a sustainable tourism destination. So that's it from us on the Daily Digest. We'll leave you now with The Kids Aren't All Right by The Offspring on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.